Kate Clinton, our favorite political humorist, is here to give us her annual reflection about the ups and downs of 2016 and her spin on what 2017 may bring our LGBTQ community. Hi, Kate.
Hello. There were ups.
For a moment, right?
Yes.
So how are you surviving the aftermath of the presidential election?
Well, I can look at my Alexa request from Amazon, that thing you say, Alexa, and then you say play, so-and-so. The day after the election, which was my birthday, from under the covers, it's Alexa, play Leonard Cohen. And then it was to Bonnie Raitt. And recently I've been listening to Elaine Stritch in Follies singing I'm Still Here. So I'm making progress. It's up and down. I mean, it's so peak patriarchy, peak racism, peak sexism, that it's really quite focusing. I mean, I really feel very focused and very determined and very ready to do the work. And then I see that Trump is Person of the Year on Time magazine. It's not just the year, it's that he's a person. It's so shocking. So, I mean, I'm up and down. We're all up and down, I think. But we're doing our best.
What's your reaction to Trump's appointments and cabinet picks?
Sometimes it feels as if they are doing a parlor game and they have gotten a list of all the departments, and then your goal is to put the best, craziest person in charge of it. You know, it'd be like some hilarious game if it weren't actually what they're doing. And, I mean, I think the whole point is to destroy a department, destroy government, so they have to privatize it so that they can make more money, because I really believe that this is like a complete death-denying culture. That I guess the feeling is the more things you have, you're not going to die, but you're going to die. Even Fidel Castro died, people. So, but it's worldwide. I mean, it's a really worldwide phenomena. It's Erdogan in Turkey. It's Modi in India. I mean, you name it. It's Brexit. It's very crazy, delusional, right-wing thing is happening globally. And I think maybe it's just, here's my Pollyanna, maybe it's just the final gasp of this kind of patriarchy. Women couldn't take it down by ourselves. They're just, the guys are going to take it down for us. But unfortunately, they take us down with them. You know, and that was really cheery, wasn't it? But that's my reaction to, you know, what he's been selecting.
What advice do you have for our LGBT community struggling with all this?
Well, I think we might have to do a recall of those It Gets Better videos. and I get bitter. But, you know, my advice is that we have to take the long view, that, you know, we see from other movements, you know, the Black Civil Rights Movement, the women's movement. It's just been, you know, up and down and progress, and then we get thrown back. And I think definitely we're in one of those thrown back periods right now. So I think it's important to keep things in perspective. One of the most helpful things that I did was on Friday after the election, I went to our wonderful gay synagogue in New York. And, you know, I just figured, oh, the Jews know how to handle this. It's been up and down for them. And that was really wonderful. The other thing that I just happened to be in D.C., and I got an opportunity to go to the African-American Museum of History and Culture, which is absolutely staggering. You know, it's in the same eye view of the Washington Monument, so it's pretty incredible. And you start in the basement, and it's very claustrophobic, and the idea is claustrophobia and the darkness of the slave ship, and then you move up. And it really is a stunning thing. And, you know, seeing that, and, you know, I just keep things in perspective. And I just think to myself, oh, white girl, you know, you're having a hard day compared to what people have gone through historically. So I say to myself, on a scale of one to Aleppo, really, you're going to be okay. So I think it's a matter of keeping it in perspective. And, you know, we're part of history, and we've had wonderful advances, and now we're having setbacks as an LGBT community.
Has the presidential election affected your sleep cycle?
Oh, my God. My summer show is called Wake Up Call, and I feel like I've been awake, woke since then. Yes, it definitely has affected my sleep cycle. I've been waking like at 3:30 in the morning and doing a lot of reading, which is good because I haven't been able to listen to the radio or watch the news. I haven't read the paper. I can't read the paper. I'm introducing occasionally a Gail Collins column, and that feels good. And so far on the radio, I've only been able to listen to Science Fridays with Ira Flatow. So, yeah, you know, my sleep is knocked off, but I'm thinking as I'm sitting in my chair sipping a tea at 3:30 in the morning, I'm not, you know, a Syrian refugee trying to get out of one of the camps and, you know, be settled somewhere. So, you know, again, it's a very lovely white problem I'm having. So I try to keep that in perspective, and it helps.
How do you see our LGBT community moving forward in a Trump administration?
Well, I think that historically the LGBT community has been very creative and there's a lot going on, and this is certainly a challenge. That, I mean, I just went to, on December 1st, World AIDS Day, I went down to the New York City new AIDS Memorial, and, you know, you are reminded of the creativity and fierceness that the gay community reacted to AIDS, and we really, you know, transformed a healthcare system and, you know, made sure that we got drugs in a timely manner and we took care of each other. And there was great art produced and great anger. So, you know, I think that we have that resiliency and we will do it again. We've had victories and we've had a very, very short life as a movement. So it's, you know, understandable that we'll have setbacks. But I believe in the creativity and, you know, wonderful things that we come up with. My fear is of being used by the Trump administration. I think in passing the federal marriage law, we really reached out, and it was a great strategy. We reached out to Republicans who, you know, like Portman of Ohio, who, you know, has a gay son, and therefore he supported full equal rights for gay people, which I always thought is like, couldn't you have possibly like dreamed it up on your own? Did you have to have a son? But anyway, so I think that what I worry now is that we could be used. We could be a wedge issue again, that pinkwashed, you know, that the Trump people, they're lovely people. They have a lot of humanity. Look how wonderful they are to the gay people, which will drive a wedge between us and the people of color. And it's a dangerous thing. And I think we really have to be careful of being used by the Trump administration. And we have to be careful how we use the Trump administration, I think, to say it's the lesser of two evils. I, you know, will pick that. It's still evil. So I think we really have to rely on a moral compass at this moment.
With LGBTQ teens four times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have these kids struggling after the election?
Well, I think what's interesting about LGBTQ kids now is that they are in every movement, which I think is really wonderful. They're dreamers, they're people that are working in Black Lives Matter, leading Black Lives Matter. So it's not just being gay, it's the heartbreak of being born in this country, fear for your family being deported. And so I think we have to remember that they're in all of these movements. So the burden is not just being gay, but it's being a dreamer, an immigrant, or a young Black person. You know, I mean, there's stories of, they're not making the papers, but of, you know, young dreamers who shortly after the election, like 7 or 8 of them committed suicide. So, you know, there's bullying, school bullying, there's all of that, but there's just like, now we have a bully as president. And, you know, I think we have to keep that in mind. And my advice is really not to young LGBT people who are struggling, but it's really to the adults. It's to LGBT older people and to our straight allies, that we have to reach out, we have to ask questions, and you have to talk. You know, I think the burden, really, to my way of thinking, is that, you know, we have to be very cognizant of the young people in our lives. I mean, a lot of us, so many people did it, you know, and after the election, it was, you just checked in with everyone. And, you know, I checked in with my nieces and nephews, who, a couple of them who are gay, but it's like, I want to check in with them and make sure that I'm helping them as much as I can. And if there's anybody that they think I should talk to, that's great. But I think that's where my advice is to the adults, or so-called adults.
How can people get information about your appearances?
It's very easy. I have a website, kateclinton.com, and that is your portal to newsletters and video blogs, which I do every week. The machine's working. It didn't work after the election. Of course, I blamed it on you-know-who, Herr Trump. And I do that, and it's just waiting for you to start getting connected and finding out my dates and seeing things that I've written. And soon enough, I hope, we're going to have a podcast. But again, that was a technical challenge that I kind of lost interest in after the election. But I'm back. I'm back and focused.
What projects are you working on?
I am working on new material because I'd kind of planned about, you know, hey, isn't it great to have a woman president? Was the theme, so I've had to change it, and now I call my show Let's Get Together and Break Things. And I'm just sort of thinking about what we all are, looking at our individual skill set to see what we can do to the resistance against this administration. I also call it the mess. And, you know, I'm looking at comedy and what can me and my fellow comedians do to bring our skill set to bear. You know, is it a rolling kind of sideshow, roadshow, you know, just making sure that people are being very political in their routines. You know, I think it's important to talk about it. It would be easy to talk about, you know, my girlfriend and, you know, oh my God, my website, my internet weren't so hard, you know, or like, don't you hate the, you know, the express line in the door? And I just want more comics to really take this moment seriously and to do material about it.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I think my mantra is a line from Leonard Cohen, who we miss terribly, and that is, there's a crack in everything, that's how the light gets through. Even though I think things look shattered and broken, what happens is those cracks allow light to come through and lead the way, and you know what looks like it's been broken is really the beginning. It's the beginning of light that grows the seed, and on we go.